Brethren, do you not know that those who run in a race all indeed run, but one receives the prize? And everyone in a contest abstains from all things, and they indeed to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. In the name of the Father, and of His Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, some years we begin the pre-Lenten season before Little Christmas. And it all depends on when Easter occurs in the year. So this year, Easter is a little bit earlier than usual, or than average, I should say. So therefore, we have Septuagesima Sunday. And I learned something interesting from Father Goffin's instructions on the epistles and gospels for Sundays. He says that in ancient times, some of the early Christians began their fasting and Lenten observance, so to speak, 70 days before Easter, hence the name Septuagesima, which means 70th. But others started it the 60th day before Lent, Sexagesima, and then others started it on the 50th day before Easter. So those are the more fervent Christians. However, to standardize things in the church, the decision was made by, I forget which pope, to standardize it to the 40th day before Easter. And actually, it's not 40th because we don't count the six Sundays of Lent. So really, Lent starts on the 46th day before Easter each year. So even though it was standardized, the church kept the name 70th, 60th, and 50th for the three Sundays before Lent. So even though Lent has not begun, the church is starting to prepare us. She's giving us this gospel, or rather this epistle by St. Paul, where he talks about abstaining from things, giving up pleasures. Why? To win the race. He talks about chastising himself, even he, the great St. Paul. So we haven't begun Lent yet. However, the church wants to prepare us for Lent. And as we know, this is true with practically everything else, it's only going to be as good as we prepare. So to have a good Lent, you can't just start thinking the day before Lent, oh, what am I going to do? No, start thinking now. All of us need to be doing that and start putting ourselves more into that penitential spirit. Hence, the purple vestments for today. So I would like to reflect mainly today in the sermon about the gospel. And the question could be asked, why this parable does our Lord give where there's a real, not just possibility, but actuality of people getting jealous? Now remember, the householder agreed on a just day's wage, and that's the obligation of employers, to pay a just wage. I'm not going to get into how that's calculated or determined. It's really not the place here, but we can at least acknowledge the principle of a just wage. And it was a denarius, or Douay Rheims says a penny a day, but this is not like our penny. This is like a silver penny, a just day's wage. And the householder then goes out and hires people at the third hour, which is around 9 o'clock in the morning. Then he hires more people at the noon hour, the sixth hour. And then he also hires people around 3 o'clock, the ninth hour. And then even at the 11th hour, which is close to quitting time, he hires people. And then when it's time to pay, instead of starting with the people who worked from the beginning of the day, he says, start with the ones that were hired last. And they got a full day's wage. And this is where the natural feeling of jealousy sets in for the others. We worked all day and you're paying these people the same amount? That's so unfair. But the householder answers, friend, I do thee no injustice. Didst thou not agree with me for a denarius? So what the householder was choosing to do is to show more charity to those that were hired later. And the later they were hired, the more charity he's showing to them. So you see, justice is what we strictly owe to each other. And that's a very important virtue. To give to God what we owe to him, to give to our fellow man what we owe to him. Saint Joseph is described in the New Testament as a just man. So you see, a lot is to be said about the virtue of justice. It's one of the four cardinal virtues. However, charity is where we go over and beyond the obligations of justice. And even though there was that danger of jealousy, our Lord saw fit to give this parable to show more than one thing here. And the first, as I already pointed out, that we can go beyond justice and practice charity. We, as a matter of fact, we are obliged to practice charity, not in the same way as justice, but our Lord is going to judge us on how well we did the works of charity. We need to go over and beyond what is strictly required. And I'm reminded of what was called the baker's dozen. In the Middle Ages, the practice became widespread among Catholic bakers that when people paid for a dozen loaves of bread or rolls, you would always put in one extra. And the idea was to honor Christ, the number of representing Christ and the 12 apostles. And there was also that, just in case I was one short, I want to make sure I'm fulfilling my obligation of justice. And if I can even do a little bit more in charity, I want to do that. So the baker's dozen, that's the origin of that saying. Another thing, another couple of lessons that are in this parable. I'm going to read here from a scripture commentator. According to Saints Jerome, Augustine, and Saint John Chrysostom, and according to Bellarmine and Maldonatus, the parable aims at showing, number one, that of those who secure salvation, the denarius, some will occupy a higher place in glory than others. So obviously those that are being hired later are getting more for what they did. So there is in heaven a hierarchy. We will get what we earn. There's no doubt about that. But some may get more because of God's goodness to them. And secondly, that the precedence in glory will not depend on priority of call to God's service, nor on length of service, but on the degree of zeal and fervor with which that service is rendered. So God doesn't look primarily at the length of time. He looks at how well we used our time. So there's multiple reasons here why we are given this parable every year on Septuagesima Sunday. And I think one other reason that could be adduced is that that life is inherently unequal. It's most obvious that people have different abilities, different roles. And to try to eradicate those differences would even be the destruction of society. You know, one of the clarion calls of communism is, we're going to make everybody equal in every way. And that's very appealing to the have-nots, those who lack much. But this cannot ever happen. In theory, you can talk about it, but in practice, it would only be the destruction of society. Look at the horrors and miseries that communism has brought wherever it has been implemented. Again, we're going to make everybody equal. And what happens is untold misery. Because again, you cannot erase those differences that are there. Differences in ability, differences in talent, differences in roles. One good thing to remember is that as persons, we are equal before God. We have this equality where each and every one of us has a body and a soul. Each and every one of us is called to the same destiny, to heaven. But that doesn't mean that everybody's going to get an equal reward. And so we are equal as persons, but not as individuals. A very good point to keep in mind from Catholic social principles. Equal as persons, not as individuals. And so when we see others having better abilities or more of possessions that we have, let us not fall into jealousy. Let us rather thank God for what we do have. Everything cannot be equal. So here's an analogy we could think of, that if you flattened society where everybody's the same in every respect, you've destroyed that beautiful hierarchy that goes upwards. Even St. Paul talks about this in one of his epistles, I forget which one. He says, he says we all are different in the mystical body of Christ. I mean, think of your own body. Can every part of the body be equal to the other part of the body? St. Paul even uses humor because he says, what if the body was all one big eye? Can you imagine that? And one big eyeball. Well, how would it get around? How would it eat? How would it nourish itself? How would blood circulate? So the very beauty of the structure of the body is because the parts are inherently unequal, different. They fulfill their roles in different ways. So I think this is a lesson that is also quite clearly taught in today's parable. And it's not for the purpose of making people feel miserable because some have more than others, but rejoice, thank God for what you do have. And there is that obligation of work on everybody. So let us do our daily duty. That is very sanctifying. Accept the role that God has given to you in society and in His church, and do it to the best of your ability. And together in that sort of teamwork, people can work towards spiritual goals and other worthy goals. So let us then prepare for this holy upcoming season of Lent. Let us start thinking what we need to do and plan it, and we will indeed have a spiritually fruitful observance of that sacred 40 days we observe before our Lord's resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.